The Living Clean podcast is not affiliated with Narcotics Anonymous, nor do we speak on behalf of NA as a whole. We are simply members sharing our personal experiences and perspectives in recovery-based discussions. The opinions expressed here are our own and not those of Narcotics Anonymous as a fellowship. This is the Living Clean podcast. This podcast is not meant to replace meetings, sponsorship, step work, or service. This podcast is meant to be another tool in your recovery toolbox. Our guests are here to share their experience, strength, and hope with recovery through Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for joining us. All right, welcome back to the Living Clean podcast. We're back for another Living Clean study. We're going to start with our introductions. I'm Mason. I'm an addict. Clean date 121-18. Dark Side of the Moon group is my home group. I'm going to kick it over to the co-host with the most, Francis.
My name is Francis. I'm an addict, and my clean date is December 22nd, 1992. My home group is You Are the Book Book Study. We meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6:30 a.m. in Chico, California. It's a great day to be clean.
Come on, Francis. Okay, next we're going to go with Sarah Jean.
I'm Sarah Jean. I'm an addict. My clean date is August 16th, 2016. And my home group is Wednesday nights in Red Bluff, California at 7 o'clock. RBNA is rural, so they actually have a meeting every night of the week at 7. But I choose to go to Wednesdays.
Gotcha. You know, that's familiar here where we're at. Like, our home groups meet multiple times in 1 week. I know that's strange to some folks, but yeah, our home groups here will meet. There's one home group in our area that meets 17 times in 1 week. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Welcome, Sarah Jean. Next, we got Carolyn.
I'm Carolyn. I'm an addict. Clean date is 11/5/07, and my home group is the Camden Home Group Women's Meeting on Thursday nights.
All right. Welcome, Carolyn. Next, we will go with, let's go with D.
Hey, I'm D. I'm an addict. My clean date is 7/28/21. My home group is Recovery First in Cookeville, Tennessee. We're part of the Upper Cumberland area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Welcome back, D. And last but certainly not least, JW.
Yeah, I'm JW. I'm an addict. My clean date is 4/21/96. I am a member of the Tupelo group of Narcotics Anonymous in Tupelo, Mississippi. We meet Saturday through Thursday at 6.
Welcome back, JW.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Judy, did you make it back to us? Would you like to introduce yourself?
All right, I'm an addict. My name is Judy. My clean date is September the 15th, 2011. My home group is Always Unique Group in Ripley, Mississippi. We meet 3 times a week, and then we have a birthday celebration once a month. So.
Welcome, Judy. So glad you're here. Thank all of you for taking the time out of your schedules to come and do this book study with us. We're so excited to have all of you. And we're going to get started tonight with JW reading the very first chapter. Can somebody with a physical book tell me what page we're on? Page what?
83.
Page 83. So we're going to be starting on page 83. It's chapter 4, the very beginning of chapter 4, our physical selves. And JW is going to take the first paragraph for us.
Okay. Each of us has different ways of seeing ourselves. We are physical beings, and we're also spiritual. We are spiritual beings, and we're also emotional. As addicts, we are prone to alienation, the feeling of being apart from. And sometimes we even feel apart from ourselves, as if all these pieces of who we are don't add up to one whole person. When we focus on what is real, we can begin to accept ourselves with all our contradictions. All these pieces of ourselves come together like a kaleidoscope, beautiful and colorful and always changing. We let go of the idea that the pieces need to line up perfectly for us to be okay. We can see amazing harmony in our lives just by being aware of what's happening inside ourselves, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. When I read this some time ago, I started thinking about a thing called kintsugi. It's a Japanese way of putting pottery, bowls back together with gold. And it really fits the idea for me of what's happened to me in Narcotics Anonymous, is that all the, fractured personality, all these ideas that I came in with kind of had me scattered all over the place. And even when they read How It Works and got down to the place where it says we become acceptable, productive, responsible members, I could never feel acceptable. So it also goes along with something else I heard somewhere about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is that before I got to NA, I couldn't get past the first level of getting those needs met. And since I've been here, those needs have been met, and that makes me a whole human being. Goes along with that part in the second step where in the how and why, where it says, our problem seems to be centered in our search for something to make us feel whole. But yeah, I get it. I've had to really work on a lot of different things when I got here that were all of our contradictions. I would be told I was a good person, but I couldn't feel it. I would be told a good job, but I always thought, if you really knew me, you wouldn't think there was anything good about me. And that's changed because it says when we focus on what is real, we begin to accept ourselves with all our contradictions. I can look at myself today and say, I'm a whole human being. I've done the work, but there's been so many people that have put those pieces back together for me. Just through them being, shoulder to shoulder with me in this thing, and them accepting me just the way I am and putting up with me for a long time. And because when I came in, I brought in all the stuff from that other world, except for using. And, it reminds me a lot of the second part of the first step. My life was very unmanageable without drugs for a very long time after I got into Narcotics Anonymous. And, I wasn't restored to sanity because I couldn't get my shit together long enough to get any kind of anything manageable in my life. So I don't know, that really speaks to me, the first part of this, the physical self. It goes along with the third chapter too, where it says, spirituality is our natural state. And that really spoke to me as to why I'd been in conflict most of my life, because I lived in an unnatural state. I was in the mental and physical, I was hooked on a sensation and I'm obsessed and, all that shit that we bring in. And, the spiritual aspect of this thing, I truly believe we're a spiritual being just living in a physical world, and NA's given me that. So thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, JW. I never would have thought that part of being a whole human being is accepting the bad. I never could be whole because that was so unacceptable, Or I thought that the bad was the combination of me as a person and I had no room for the good. I didn't know that it took all those pieces together to make up who I am today. And it's really freeing to develop the mindset of being able to accept all the bad as part of who I am. It doesn't always have to be that way, but as of today, so I have some character flaws. I have some character defects, and those make up who I am. And in a way, I'm almost grateful for them. Like I need those pieces to complete the puzzle right now. Now, hopefully I can take those pieces and add in a spiritual principle in certain places. But as of right now, what holds me together and completes me is the character defects that sometimes, as crazy as that sounds. I hope that made some sense. Francis.
Yeah, I was kind of enjoyed the sentence, as addicts, we are prone to alienation. We feel the feeling of being apart from, and sometimes even feel apart from ourselves. All of these pieces of who we are don't add up to one whole person. And man, I always thought I was an alien. You know, like I could never fit in anywhere. I would try, and I would put on a different fucking suit, you know, like punk rocker suit or Grateful Dead suit, and I was still miserable. And I figured I must be like from some other place or some other time or just something else, because it just wasn't working in addiction. And there's something in the basic text. I pulled it up and more will be revealed. It says, by working the steps, we are rebuilding our fractured personalities. And so it wasn't until I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I was given these steps to help me be fit in my skin. You know, like, and so today I don't feel alien anymore. Today I feel like I belong to the planet, and I belong to the people, and like I feel like I'm a servant of the people too. It's really kind of a neat thing that Narcotics Anonymous has given me, and I like to think that the opposite of addiction is connection, and so like it's kind of put me together. You know, like when I thought I was falling apart, I was really falling together in Narcotics Anonymous. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Francis. JW.
Well, when you said accepting the bad along with everything else, being a whole human being, it reminded me of that story of the two wolves that are fighting inside of us. And I heard it told a different way. I've always heard, you know, which one's going to win? It's the one that you feed the most. And I heard a different twist on it the other day. It said, you don't fight the bad wolf. You invite it to lay down beside you because it ain't going nowhere. But you don't have to, because fighting it would give it power and drain the power out of you. I thought that was, I never heard it put that way. And it really makes sense to me. Where, surrender says we don't have to fight anymore. Well, I don't have to fight me anymore, you know, and that was what you brought to mind when you said accepting the bad stuff. So,
yeah, it's kind of like what the fellowship does for us, right? Like we come in that way and they invite us to come in and lay down and they're there for us. And, you know, they love us and care for us. And at any time we're liable to snap at them, you know, like the wolf, but they tell us to keep coming back and they love us anyway, and eventually they soften us, you know, like our I felt like my heart was so callous when I got here, you know, and it's like you've been tenderized in my heart ever since I got here. And some days that's good and some days I don't know, but no, it's good to have a tender heart. But
That episode with Peter Kay, Awe and Awe, you know, like where he was talking about loving our character defects, you know, like wrapping your arms around your anger, you know, and, you know, like rather than being upset with myself for having character defects, you know, like like Narcotics Anonymous loves us until we can love ourselves. And then I think that kind of loving ourselves allows us to kind of like love our character defects into compliance too. That was reminding me of that other episode.
Awesome. Thank you, Francis. Judy.
When we were talking about that, what came to mind is I was in my bachelor's degree when I was going to school for my bachelor's, and we had to do this exercise that says, "Who am I?" And I had to list 20 things. And I remember when I was going through it, I was listing the good. And then I thought, well, there's some bad. And I started putting the bad in there. And I think that's when I, not that I didn't know that prior to that, because I mean, I've been clean for a day or two, you know, and, but that's when I realized that it took the good, the bad, and the ugly to make up who I am. And that, you know, that was what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. It's not about, I don't really think that it's about fixing us. I think it's about letting us come into the people that we were meant to, that we've always been or meant to be. Does that make sense? So that's my perception on it. And you know, I struggled with the whole fact of all these little bad parts about me. Like I really wanted to, I thought I was supposed to come in and be this perfect little addict, and I never got mad and I never done anything. And you know, the first time I exploded in anger, it was like, whoa, what just happened here? You know, I'm this horrible individual. And, you know, it took my sponsor and the rooms to help me understand that that's nothing wrong with me. That's human nature, you know, and that's what makes me who I am. So that's what I got out of it. I absolutely love that first little paragraph and talking about the kaleidoscope and all the pieces. And, you know, I found my pieces in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Judy. Okay, Francis, who do we got next?
How about if we just keep rolling with Judy?
Okay. We talk a lot about how addiction affects our bodies, but the physical part of recovery is ignored to a surprising degree. We free our minds and spirits, turning them over to a higher power, but our bodies can be another story. Our physical, emotional, and spiritual lives are interwoven. We can think of them separately, but we cannot experience them separately. If we don't deal with the physical part of our recovery, we run the risk of becoming disconnected from our spiritual path. So, I was sitting here thinking, I've read this. This is the third or fourth time I've read it in the last couple of days, just this whole little chapter. And I thought, what am I going to talk about? But I know this much. Like when I came in, I wanted to, it talks about that spiritual connection. And I started finding that, but it took me several years to finally feel connected to something greater than me. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of like physical things wrong with me when I got here. And then about 4 years in, I became diabetic. And I was having to go to these doctors all the time. I was having some health issues. And my sponsor had told me, she said, "Judy, part of your recovery is also," because I told her, I said, "I'm getting tired of going to these damn doctors. Like, it seems like I'm going to this one, and that one." And she told me that that was part of working a program of recovery, is to also maintain my physical health, no matter how many times I had to go back to the doctor. And, you know, I struggled with that for a long time, but I did eventually do that. And then I had gained this weight, and it's talking about in here, it's talking about turning it over to, you know, a higher power. We free our minds and spirits, turning them over to a higher power. Part of what I had to learn to do is that if I didn't like something, first of all, I had to surrender to it and allow my higher power and the people who are in professional and go to the professionals that can actually help me in those areas. You know, I don't go to a mechanic to get a tooth pulled. You know, I go to a dentist, and I don't go, you know, I have a specialist for my diabetes because I know that they specialize in diabetes, and like who else would I be with? So turning over that part of it, the physical aspects of it, was kind of hard because I guess I didn't think to turn that over to the God of my understanding in the beginning. I thought I just had to turn over the drugs. And there's a lot more that comes with drugs. You know, I'm pretty fucked up in the head, if you will, you know, so I've got a lot of issues. And so, you know, maintaining my mental health. You know, I go to a therapist and I try to work on that. And I don't know if any of this is going to go really go along with the way I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm just winging it. But, you know, there was a lot of trauma that happened early on. And so I lived in this state of freeze, fight, or fawn stage, you know. And so I started looking into my 4-step released so much of that stuff. But I needed to go to the professionals to help me get to the core issue. And you know, that's the way when I read this paragraph, that's what I'm thinking. It's I'm thinking about because if I'm mentally not well, I'm physically not well. If I'm physically not well, I'm probably not emotionally well either. So I'm trying to take care of everything at one time. And in the beginning, it's very overwhelming. Like, how do I fix 30 odd years of using? How do I fix all of that in X amount of days? And, you know, the basic text even tells me it's not going to be fixed overnight. So I did have to turn that over to higher power too and let that power guide me. And I reached out to people in the program who could help me and direct me who's been there. So I don't know if that really talks too much about that paragraph, but I'm hoping I covered it pretty good.
You did a wonderful job, Judy. Thank you so much. And I relate to that so much, you know, like I feel spiritually I am in a phenomenal place. I feel emotionally like I can overcome just about anything emotionally, but physically I have always struggled my whole, well, except when I got here. Believe it or not, I know it sounds crazy, when I got here, physically I was okay. I mean, I wasn't but 26 years old when I got clean, and I was in fairly good shape for somebody who had been where I was at. You know, but that's been my struggle. And what's funny is the two things that are detriment to my spiritual and my emotional condition right now are it's my physical condition. Like those are the things that yeah, they're detrimental to those conditions. Carolyn.
Carolyn Maddox. I don't know if you say that, but I did. So yeah, this is such a great. I don't remember this. I have all of it highlighted, but I don't remember doing it the first time. The physical part, like when I got clean, I hadn't had anything really. I mean, I had sports injuries, whatever, but like I've had two major health issues since I've been here, like surgeries. I'm like, I'm losing more parts than I'm gaining now, right? And so and it was taking medication and having the surgery and then having a really scary health thing happen, and I had about 10 years clean, and I was like in an ICU for almost over 6 months. So long time. And I woke up and I had no job and no hair and I couldn't talk and I couldn't walk. My dog wouldn't come to me. My niece had blown up my car. Like I was like, and going into that year, I was like, 10 years clean was awesome. Like everything was going great. And my relationships were good. My recovery was good. And I kind of woke up and looked around and said, you know, fuck God, why me? I'm sorry, I don't know if you cuss. And my sister looked at me and said, you didn't die. And then that part of my spirit like awoken, like that change in my physical stuff. Like when I say the third step prayer now, it means so much to me. Like take my will and my life, really. Like NA saved my life because I don't use anymore and I didn't die. And then I was at a meeting sharing, and instead of being alone and using in a bathroom, an addict got me to the hospital and saved my life. And I was with people. And so that physical and spiritual really is powerful for me. So that paragraph was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Francis.
That you know, like the next several the probably the whole chapter is going to be about our bodies, and you know, like so I'm like, should I share now or should I wait for the next one? Yeah, you know, when I first got clean, I spotted this thing in the basic text. It says addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that affects every area of our lives. And so like what is it like a physical, like if I'm going to work a program, what is the working a physical program? Like if this is a physical disease, what does that look like? And so what I thought that meant was like going to the gym and eating carrots and shit like that. When I was young, right? Like, and like, this is what I need to do to maintain my the instrument. And that changed as I got older. You know, like now I like have a host of doctors. You know, like I have a foot doctor and a kidney doctor and a you know like a dermatologist and you know like a general practitioner and like all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I'm like, and I have a orthopedic surgeon that you like I have to check in with from time to time because I have a fake hip. And so the relationship with what I'm saying is my the relationship with my body, with my physical self has changed. And I really liked what Carolyn was saying about the third step prayer. You know, like when you know, like ask God to take your will in your life, you know, like I think that I liked what she was saying is like the life part is like taking care of your body, you know, like your life. And what does that mean? You know, like and it you can't you're not I'm not 25 anymore. You know, like I'm 57 and it's a whole nother ball game. And so yeah, I also you know, like there's a part of me that struggles with selfishness and other people's selfishness. And it, like when they start talking about like, oh, I'm going to drop out of service because I need to do a bunch of self-care. And I'm thinking that's some selfish shit. And but at the same time, I do believe that you need to take care of yourself to a degree that you can take care of others. Like you have like you need to maintain your instrument to be an effective tool for your higher power to help other people. So there's a piece to it, but I don't want to like I don't want to fall right into that 100%. You're like, fuck all you guys, I'm taking care of me. I might as well be back out in my addiction. Thanks.
Thanks, Francis. Judy.
So I was also when Caroline was talking, I realized, you know, when I was 4 years clean, I went to the doctor, you know, and they were telling me that if we didn't get some, my liver enzymes had elevated to extremely high levels. Like she was talking liver failure. And I remember thinking, like, I got clean to fucking die. You know what I mean? And I remember the next thought after that is at least I will die clean. And you know how much that would affect. And I know, like, my mom and them can sleep better because I'm clean. And so, regardless if that would have took me out or not, I would have been clean. And my mother, my family, my loved ones could have rested at peace with that idea. Thank God that did have that is under control. I do have to go to a liver doctor, and he does have to check me once a year, but so far, we're doing good and no more damage has been done. So I was thinking about that. And then, as far as the serenity prayer goes, you know, I'm glad we're doing the podcast because I'm struggling with something tonight physically. Like my diabetes is through the roof. And if my alarm goes off, I am so sorry. But I have a sensor on, so it will go off if it gets too high. But I said all that to say this, that, you know, hearing that and remembering the serenity prayer and listening to what everybody is sharing has just reminded me of how much I really need to practice. Like I need to remember the serenity prayer and deal with what I can control, let go of what I can't, and asking God for the wisdom to know the difference, you know, because my way is not going to solve the problem. And I know that it's never solved it before. So I just wanted to kind of share that. And another thing, I was grateful that I got here. You said, Mason, you were 27. I was 39 when I got here, and I was so grateful. I didn't have to take a bunch of medicine when I got here. And surprisingly enough, I take a diabetic medicine, and I take one other medicine that's prescription. And I'm 53, so I think that that's pretty good considering that some people 53 years old is probably taking 10 or more medications daily. So I am very blessed in that.
Thank you, Judy. Okay, let's move on to the next paragraph. My man D is up. I just want to call somebody out. D is filling in because and before y'all think I'm picking on him, this is a longtime guest of the show. Forgot to show up. His name's Brex. So you see Brex out, give him a hard time, but I think it worked out. We're glad to have you here, D.
Thank you. I'm D. I'm an addict. Yeah, Breck, shout out. I got your back, baby. That's how we do this. All right, I'll start here. Taking good care of our bodies can be a challenge. We go back and forth between indulging ourselves in ways that feel selfish or excessive and punishing ourselves or piling on restrictions in an effort to control patterns that feel like symptoms of our addiction. After long struggles with ways and means to drive ourselves back into healthy behavior, we find that what we really need to do is surrender. Often it's when we help a newer member work the steps that we see how they apply to our lives today. Well, this is just a perfect example of synchronicity in my life. For one, my home group's Living Clean Book Study, we just did this exact thing last week. This directly applies to what's been going on in my life. And so I'll share a little bit on that. I'm 53 years old. I didn't start my recovery journey till I was 48, and I only have 3.5 years only. Man, I got 3.5 years. Woo! So anyway, about a year ago, I was working a job, physical labor, because it was what I could get. And when I was doing it, I got injured, and so I had to have a surgery and a lot of changes in my life. I had to examine things, and so I've just about 3 months ago was released to go back in the work field. I've changed my work and I pursued that, but at 53, I don't take any medicines. Woo, that's amazing. That's incredible because I was horrible to my body for over 30 years. I have scar tissue all over me. I had so many various injuries that I injured, so I had to have a total reverse shoulder replacement on my left and on my right arm. I still have a bone sticking out of it from where I've broken it and never got it fixed properly. So, you know what? I'm pieced together, but man, I'm doing pretty good. For everything that I went through, man, I am grateful. And I have a whole lot of pain that I can look back on and go, where I'm at today, whew, the gratitude is whew, out there. But, something that I've been reflecting on lately is, so I know over this past year that the job I had was very physical. And so over this time, there's a lot of that time that I had to stay, be still, which was a process in itself to learn how to do and heal. And so now I'm getting back into trying to make some changes in my life to better my health. And one of the first things I was doing is looking to some 20-year-olds to give me guidance. And fortunately, that insanity became obvious real quick because some of the things they suggested, I was like, no, I can't. And it was hard for me to say no because, in my mind, I still thought, yeah, I can try that. Just leading to more injuries. For one, my shoulder probably popped out. But anyway, I started looking at that and see, I realized, I have a choice in my own recovery today, too. And that's something that I didn't have for a long time was choice period. So I got to speak my own voice to myself about what I was willing to do. And I've been making some small changes just in the last couple of weeks. And by doing those, the choices I made were things like start walking by the lake. Oh, I'd forgotten how much I loved walking in the woods just over the past year. And I got out there and started getting some cardio. Been challenging it, changing my diet a little bit at a time. I went crazy for a minute and decided I was just going to stop drinking Dr. Pepper altogether. But I woke up and I'm not giving that up yet. Nope. I know it's straight sugar, but I'm just not willing to do it. And I'm okay with that. I'm not beating myself up over it. I did a couple days ago, but I went through this self-imposed struggle of going, I've got to be extreme about this. And then I realized, no, I surrendered to it. Let's make a plan, talk to some people, and get some good guidance. And so that's where I'm heading right now. Taking good care of my body, it's a brand new thing. Never did it in my life. I'm 53 years old as well. And it's a miracle I'm alive. It's a miracle. The ability to make healthier choices today about my and actually care about my physical condition in a way that's loving and kind is something brand new to me, and I'm very grateful. But anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, D. I just want to comment on the last section or the last sentence. It says, often it's when we help a newer member work the steps that we see how they apply to our lives today. I can remember actually sitting in this room that I'm in working a four step with a sponsee who physically was in a lot better shape than I was, but he got so vulnerable with me about his insecurities about the way that he felt, and then I just felt myself getting like overwhelmed with like emotion while he was sharing those things. And I think it was something that I just didn't want to acknowledge and pretended like didn't exist for me, but I just never will forget how eye-opening that was. And the sponsee giving that to the sponsor was just it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I've had that, as I'm sure most of you out there listening and on here who have sponsored others have had that scenario play out time and time again where a sponsee just says something in step work. And it's like, my gosh, that's such a gut punch. That is exactly where I'm at, what I'm feeling, or something I never even considered before that a sponsee brings to light. It's just it's an unreal process, and I'm so thankful that people saw something in me and asked me to sponsor them because they have literally helped me more than I don't see how I could help them as much as they've helped me. But anyways, Francis.
Yeah, I like that sentence too. It was I'm going to add a little to it. It says, after long struggles with ways and means to drive ourselves back into healthy behavior, we find that what we really need to do is surrender. Often it's when we help a newer member work the steps and we see how they apply it to their lives today. And I'll kind of like challenge my sponsees to do like a 90 and 90 if they get complacent. And I'm like, I'll do it with you. And I'm kind of like doing it anyway. Like I go to a lot of meetings anyway. But I'm like, I'm like, yeah, I'll challenge you to a 90 and 90. And I just recently did that and she fell off. She hasn't been doing it at all. But like, I'm like still like on par every single day for the past 3 weeks. And it's super like rewarding for me to challenge myself. And sometimes it's just about like trying to keep people moving with steps and meetings and stuff like that. Not so much the gym, but I do need to get there. And then maybe they could challenge me to get to the gym. Like that could be a thing. But I like like I like. Not only like new members, like give me willingness. It's almost like I lack it sometimes, and then I'm like a willingness vampire. Like when new people come in and they're excited about the recovery, I'm like, yes. It allows me to be excited about the book or excited about going to meetings or going to an event. I can't tell you how many events I've been to. I'm like, another Valentine's Day event. Okay. But when they're excited about it, it allows me to be excited about it. Thank you.
Awesome, Francis. Thank you. Carolyn.
Oh, thank you. I too was thinking about that. For me, service is a blessing, but it's always the thing that I do excessively until my body and my mind and everything is overwhelmed and I'm anxious and and then I feel like I'm not doing anything well because I'm having to cut everything short because I'm just doing too much. And so trying to find that balance again is that surrender piece, right? Like, I don't have to do everything. I don't have to do it perfect. I don't have to control everything in my area, in my region, in my whatever it is, or all my sponsees, what they're doing. But I find when my higher power is working through me in step work, like that last sentence again, like that all of you have been talking about, like it almost, it's like I hear it coming out of my mouth, but I don't feel like it, like I was in control of it. Like I almost feel like my higher power is talking to me. And then when I tell them something, I'm like, oh, yeah, I probably have to do that too now, because now I've said it to you and my sponsee. And so then I have to find the balance and the, you know, all the things I've said that my higher power said through me. Now I get to take those suggestions and put them in my life because I can't tell them to do it if I'm not going to do it, like Francis was saying. So.
Thank you for that, Carolyn. Okay, let's roll on to the next paragraph. Sarah Jean is up.
I'm Sarah, I'm an addict. Even though we may have beliefs about what a relationship with our body should be like, most of us feel we are not living up to that standard. There are lots of people who want to tell us how we should do it, but taking an honest look at how we relate with our bodies is new and scary. Too often we hold back from the freedom our program has to offer because we are not entirely ready to let go. We are aware of our imperfection, but see it as something we should control, not something we can surrender. Man, like, first of all, there's been so much good stuff that, and I couldn't figure out how to raise my hand until just now, like right before I read. But there was so much good stuff going on in this whole chapter, and I love Living Clean. It's one of my favorite of our literature, but the surrender piece for me, like I'm just gonna, a little over a year ago, like I was 50 pounds heavier, right? And like, and so I've really worked vigilantly on changing my relationship with food, right? And what does that surrender look like in my steps work? And like, I've been around the program of Narcotics Anonymous since I was 15 years old. And but my clean date's August 16th, 2016, right? Like I've had a lot of time at one point, but I didn't view it as recovery. Like I was that chameleon, right? Like I was whatever I thought you guys wanted me to be. And it's only been in the since I came back from that last relapse that I really dug into, like, who am I? Like, what does that look like? What do I want to be when I grow up? Do I want to grow up? Right, like all those things. And so the relationship with that higher power that I was been able to develop in these past 8 years through working the steps has just changed my perception on everything, right? Including I remember working a set of steps with, you know, she's not my sponsor anymore, but with Tracy H, and it was all my relationships and food, right? Like that's what my that set of steps was about. And I didn't apply it into my life until recently, right? Like I worked through that stuff, figured out the solution, did it for a little bit, and then put it on the back burner again. And it wasn't until like I was faced with like, oh my God, I might have cancer, right? Like that's what it was. Like I had like a little cancer scare, and I was like, I have to change it. And it ended up being my thyroid, and it had a lot to do with my diet. And so changing my relationship with food was a struggle, but that surrender. Right, like it was just like, okay, why am I putting this into my body? Why am I putting this much into my body? Like, I had to surrender, you know. And I get to do that on a daily basis. Like, I don't, and it's been what I've seen in the last year transform is that relationship with food. It's not about exactly what I'm putting into my body as much as it is how much. Like, how I'm not starving myself. Right. I'm making sure I eat five small meals a day, even if that's chocolate cake for breakfast, because that's my favorite breakfast. Right. But that surrender is so important to me. And so when it talked about too often we hold back from the freedom our program has to offer because we're not entirely ready to let go, Like, I believe for me, like, everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to happen so that I could be right here talking on this podcast today, right? Like, I don't think that anything happens without fault. And so I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. We're going to post a link to Sarah Jean's diet in the description down below because I can get on board with any diet that starts with chocolate cake in the morning. Yep. All right, Judy.
When it's, I was going to touch on that sentence there where it says, too often we hold back from our freedom, the freedom our program has to offer because we're entirely ready. We're not entirely ready to let go. You guys, when I started seeing my diabetic doctor, I drank Mellow Yellow from sun up to sundown. And I've done that since I was 16 years old. So it has been a huge part of my life. But I remember telling her, I said, I'm not willing to let go of Mellow Yellow, so we're gonna have to figure this out with some other way. And she laughed at me. And I done the surrender thing with cigarettes, and I got off of them, and then I quit for 2 years, and then I started back smoking and back on vapes. And then I, I'm almost more willing to let go of Mellow Yellow than my vape at this point. But I was gonna say that that was something that I was. I heard it being said like it was something I was trying to control rather than something I was trying to surrender. And I think my biggest issue with some of my health issues is I want to control it. The addict in me still wants to have control. Like the addict in me still wants to be able to do something and say, I did that. And so, when I surrender, it's not I done it, it's we done it. And so I'm so grateful that I jumped on this podcast because I almost said I didn't want, I almost decided I wasn't going to do it because I was so nervous and I thought, I'm not as smart as everybody else and blah, 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 whatever else. But, I'm so glad that I got on here because I've read it, like I said, three times, and us sitting here talking about it is bringing me so much more awareness and insight on the whole topic and reminding me to just surrender. Anyway, thank you.
That's my whole motivation to host, Judy, is because I know when people come on and listen to me talk for a couple of minutes, they're gonna be like, well, if that dude can sit here for an hour, I know we can. JW, did you have something?
Yeah, I just, well, I'm gonna reply to what Judy said about being smart. Hell, if that was a prerequisite, y'all never would invite me on this damn thing. But, no, the surrender thing, I went to the gym for a while with Chris D and lifted all the shit. I mean, he's been doing it for years. And I go lift all the shit he'd lift and do all the stuff he did. And I finally said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. It's not my thing. Like everybody kept saying, oh, at some point you'll just love it. No, I'm never going to love going and picking up hundreds of pounds of weight for nothing. Like I can tote some shit that needs toting, but not, I'm not going to the gym anymore. Just not gonna do it. I'm gonna do some stuff. I know it's a lifestyle change. I love Snickers. If I had a chocolate cake, I'd eat that summit till it was gone. That's my thing with food is I know if I ever take one piece of chocolate, I'm eating all of them. That's just like, I know I can't drink a beer. I mean, shit, I know I can't eat just one. I don't want to eat just one piece of chocolate. I mean, that's like that. Now I have done some stuff with my weight that, body image is something that men think about. I don't know if they talk about it very much, but I do. I'm 69 years old. I ain't got much left on this fuck. I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do, and I'm gonna die of something. I quit smoking for a year. Hell, I started smoking again because I wanted a fucking cigarette, And I don't know, man. Surrendering to the shit that I like to do, I'm gonna fucking do it, and I don't have any health issues right now. I mean, I guess if they come along, I'll do something different, but I'm okay with being who I am. Yeah, I ain't got no fucking hair up here. What, it comes out of my ears now. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, the shit changes, and I'm gonna go with it. I got some clippers. I clip the hair out of my ears now. Yeah, I'm not cutting my hair, and I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, you know, people ask me, when are you gonna cut your hair? Never, ever again. Never. But I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with them not understanding it. It's okay. I can just be JW. That's, man, NA has given me that. And I'm willing to take it and be okay with it. Y'all love me enough that I love myself. So just fuck it. I ain't worried about all that other shit. Thank
JW,
you.
you're getting a bunch of hell yes out there in the stratosphere right
Well, I mean,
now.
you get to a certain age, man. You've been through hell. I mean, most people that come into this thing, ordinary people would have blown their fucking brains out. You know, we did some dope. Now that I don't do some dope, yeah, I'm gonna eat some chocolate cake. Hell yeah. I love chocolate. Thank you.
Thank you, JW. Francis.
Oh man, yeah. So it says too often we hold back from the freedom our program has to offer because we are not entirely ready to let it go. To let go, and so I think the doctor like motivates me a little bit, you know, like more than even my sponsor or even self-image. But he's like when my life is at stake, I'm willing to take some suggestions. And I've been going to Weight Watchers for like 20 years, you know, like, and so then all of a sudden, like, I go see my doctor and he does like this chest scan on me, and I have like a clogged artery, you know, like a calcium buildup in one of my arteries next like to my heart. And I'm like, oh shit. And so he's got me like on a weight loss drug, and I feel like I'm cheating on it's like going to an AA meeting and feeling like you're cheating on alcoholics, like on Narcotics Anonymous. You're like I feel like I'm cheating on Weight Watchers because I've been going to that, doing that for so long, and not really getting a lot of results from it. But now you're like I'm like way like I've lost a lot of weight. And I also feel like I'm cheating the whole process at the gym too, you know, like, but like when it comes down to it is like it's a suggestion from my doctor to do this, and like I have to live with it, you know, like that's just one of the things. It's a reservation, you know, like when we're holding on to something we don't think that we can let go of, it's a reservation. And I'm not letting go of Snickers. Like I've gone from the king size to like bite size, you know, like you're like that's like where I'm kind of at with it. But jelly filled donuts still my favorite. You know, like I can live without the chocolate ones, but the jelly fill I can't say no to. We did a podcast with Daryl F. We were like having a good time with cheeseburger. I hope Daryl's listening for the Big Mac. Thanks.
Thank you, Francis. Sarah Jean.
So, yeah, to be completely transparent, I worked in the medical field for about 10 years, and so I was all about what the doctors would tell me to do too. And I did use the weight loss injection. Probably it was about a year and a half ago that I used it. I used a one of them, and it actually made me sick. It made me so sick that to the point that now I don't feel like I can eat, like almost like I had a gastric sleeve. Because I'm going to tell you that I have not gone to the gym. I go to the gym. I have two gym memberships, and I go maybe once a week. And when I do go, it's usually to tan. So like there's not a lot of physical activity in there, you know, but I do believe that that set the tone, right, for me to lose weight. Like I started feeling sick, and my doctor suggested, you know, like, okay, well, let's stop this injection. We'll figure, let's keep going on this diet. They had me on some like no sugar, gluten, or dairy, right? Is the diet that I'm supposed to have according to the doctors. And but now it's just like I could eat whatever I want as long as it's in small portions. So I can't eat the fat Snickers bar, right? But I can definitely have a bunch of those minis in my snack drawer at work, and I do. So there's that. Thank
Awesome.
you.
Thank you, Sarah Jean. Judy.
I was also going to say, so one thing I was going to say is that I am down to half a can of Mellow Yellow a day, so that's great. But when we're sitting here talking about when we're talking about the food, and because I love to eat, I love to eat, and I'm very picky, so I don't like a lot of the things that they tell me I can eat, like fish and stuff. I don't eat that stuff. So I was sitting here thinking when before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I used to say I was bulimic, but what it was, since I've been to school now and I know a little bit more about the DSM-5, I was anorexic. But I also, what it was is that I would eat small portions, but I would still actively participate in like bulimic activities. Like I would take the laxatives and I would purge and I would do that. And the last time I'd done that was about, I had had three little raviolis and purged 19 times that day. And I remember the doctor telling me, and I mean, I was 110 pounds, y'all. Like, but when I looked in the mirror, like what I seen and what the scale said did not add up. And so I struggled with that for a long time. So now I am still very scared when it comes to my weight and how I participate in managing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to be really careful about what I do and don't do because I don't want. Because just like a relapse to drugs, I don't want to relapse to doing to participating in those same activities today because I am grateful for my life and I am grateful for who I am today. And I'm okay that I weigh a little bit more than I want to weigh. And I'm okay, I can't say it enough. I'm 53. I'm not supposed to look like I'm 20 years old. So with that being said, I do have to be very careful with that. So that's one thing that I'm very grateful for. But to have, give, full transparency, like the thoughts come, and that scares me as much as going out here and taking another hit of dope. Like, I am so terrified that I will fall back off into that. And, my doctor, matter of fact, my diabetic doctor at that time was a nurse practitioner, and she said, Judy, we have a psychiatric ward over here that we call the fifth floor at the hospital. And she said, Judy, if you come in here and your organs start shutting down, I'm putting you on the fifth floor. And I said, but I'm not crazy. She said, but it is a mental health disorder, and that made me kind of realize that that's very important for me to take care of myself physically. And the last thing I want to say is that the reason why I try to take better care of it is because I feel like, and this might go into when we do the gratitude one, but I've always felt if I'm gratitude for my life and what God has given me, the God of my understanding has given me, then I will take care of all aspects of that. And that includes my health and my well-being in those areas. So if I'm grateful, I'm going to try to eat better and do that. I do love me some Cheetos. Gotta love Cheetos, but they are so horrible. I did find a chocolate that comes from Germany, and it doesn't raise my sugar up as much. So I absolutely love my chocolate from Germany as long as I can make it to the candy store. So, and I've got some on the counter. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Judy. Y'all have done a terrible job about this physical part. All I want to do is go eat some damn sweets. It's funny. I think a year and a half ago, I was 400 pounds. I lost all the way down to 330. Then I went back to 370. And now it's been in the wintertime. I'm at 340 now. And it's fixing to be golf season. So I'm just grateful that I didn't go all the way back up to 400 because I know I'm going to lose at least 30 or 40 over the golf season because I'll be out there active, because I'm obsessed with that too. That's a whole nother issue that we could talk about for a whole nother podcast. But it's crazy how that, and the way what I say that to say this, my physical journey has been very much like my recovery from addiction in general. is sometimes I take a couple of steps forward, I take one back, I take a couple of steps forward. It's been a slow, long process, and I'm grateful that I got solutions, I got people to talk to, I got an avenue that when the willingness is there, it's not like I'm willing, but I don't know where to go. Much like I felt before I found Narcotics Anonymous. But yeah. Anyways, Carolyn, would you like to read our last paragraph?
I would. Our sense of humor allows us to squeeze a positive attitude out of a negative self-image. When we were able to laugh at ourselves, we lighten up a little. We do the work, but we also learn to play. We see our defects, but we also see what there is to love about us. Balance in our lives is dynamic, like walking on a tightrope. It only works when we are moving. We are constantly in motion, and so is the way we see ourselves. Oh. So, yeah, if I didn't have a sense of humor, I don't know if I could still be here or anywhere, really. I like to get a laugh when I'm sharing. It makes me feel good, even though I know for a fact, this is a life and death thing. Yeah, I'm very aware of how serious our disease is. But I'm 60. I never thought I'd be 60. I didn't think I'd live this long. And I didn't necessarily want to be 60. Like 59 sucked the whole year. And it was just me being like resentful of 60 and it hadn't happened yet. And now I say it all the time. It's like, I don't have any problem with it. It's like the youngins at work say something. I'm like, I'm 60. I win. You got to do what I say. Get off my lawn. I am cool with that now. And I am always in motion to a point. Like, I can't stay stagnant in my recovery. I cannot. Like, it. Somebody used this analogy when I was first getting clean. It's like we're going up the up escalator, right? Or the down escalator. So if you stop, the escalator's still going to go down. So you have to keep walking, or you're dropping back down again. And I will never be on a tightrope in my entire life, but I get the point, right? I get the thing that. Like, I have to keep moving forward. I have to keep doing the next right thing. I have to. It feels like it's a theme that we're all diabetic. But like, I lost part, my pancreas became necrotic and I lost most of it. So when I got out of the hospital, I was diabetic. I had to take insulin because I no longer produce enough. And they sent me to the dietitian and they told me about portion sizes, which are ridiculous. Like, I was weighing stuff and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, I'm gonna starve. This is wrong, right? Like, a sleeve of Girl Scout cookies is a portion size. And they're like 2.5. I'm like, who would eat a half a cookie and put the other one back? Like, this doesn't make sense. Oh, stop it. Sarah G. Half a cookie. That's insanity. See, that's the insanity of my disease. Well, and when I first got here, like my first drug of choice was food. The first thing I lied about, the first thing I did all the stuff about was food. And so I've had this issue like my whole life, and I come from a family of ballerinas. I am not built like that. I do not look like that. And they told me I was fat. And then I look at the pictures and I wasn't. I was a healthy kid. But I've always seen myself that way since then. And so part of the steps is like my sponsor was the first one that said I was beautiful. Like, I didn't get that from my family. And said I was a good mom or I was good, that unconditional love told me I could love myself that way. And I think that's kind of what this whole thing is about. Like, I can be okay in my own body because I've worked some steps. Like, I didn't know who I was physically even. I had some gender issues, honestly, which was physical, and I didn't know who I wanted to be or who I was because of that thing it talked about in the first paragraph, I think. Like, we don't know, I felt a part of, I felt like not the same, like not part of my family. I didn't look like them. I didn't feel like them. I looked more like my dad's side, but I just didn't feel a part of anything at school. You know, I could fit in a little bit everywhere, but never really in my heart did I feel like I fit in anywhere until I got here. Until you guys laughed at what I laughed at, and we laugh at the weirdest stuff. Like, other people don't laugh at the stuff we laugh at. Like, my humor doesn't go over everywhere, but it works here. And and having that sense of humor and having a higher power that has that same sense of humor has worked for my recovery. It's worked for my life, and it's worked for me at home, at school, at work, at NA in service. Like, it works for me. And thank God for us, right? That we found each other. The aliens have finally come home.
Thank you, Carolyn. D.
Yeah, I'm D. I'm an addict. I loved talking about hearing share about humor. Humor is so essential in my life, man. I'm enjoying life. I didn't for so long. Man, I love my life today, and I can say it honestly. One thing, though, that I was thinking about was that how our sense of humor allows us to squeeze a positive attitude out of a negative self-image. I agree with that, but also I learned just recently about a friend of ours down in Alabama. I was talking to him, and he called me out on something in a conversation. He said, "Whoa, whoa, what did you just say?" And I was like, "What?" And he said, "You need to check that negative self-talk." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And what he said back to me, I was like, "Wow, I didn't even realize that." He goes, "You do that a lot." And, you know, it goes back to the fact of then I had to, you know, this has been last couple of weeks. I've examined that a lot. Like, you know, I've heard other addicts share on this where you can sit there all day long and try to pick me apart. And I'm going to be, call me a loser, call me this or that. And I'm going to be like, okay. But if you compliment me, ooh, I just get really uncomfortable. And then I'll put on the mask. Thank you. That's not what I'm thinking in my head. I'm actually, you know, and I have a hard time with the people who love me and are closest to me with that even. And it's a work in progress. And so that goes back to that balance for lives, the dynamic. And then it says we're constantly in motion and so is the way we see ourselves. So since that moment, a couple of weeks ago, it's helped me in the way I saw myself the last couple of weeks. And I paid attention more toward how I speak of myself. And you know how I did it? I just stopped speaking about myself altogether. You know, I'm working on it. But the first thing I wanted to do was stop doing the negative thing. I'm going to get around to get a little bit more positive. But that was a start. Anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, D. Sarah Jean.
So that, thank you so much, Dee and Carolyn. Like, there was so many things that I related to. And like, I bought Girl Scout cookies the other day and I ate 2.5 Girl Scout cookies. I really did. But what's fun, I think about, like, I went through lots of like, it's all, like I said, everything aligned how it had to align for me to be where I'm at today. And it's like, I apply those things into my life that I've, like, in therapy. I remember going, like, when the realization was like, I didn't have to eat my whole plate of food anymore. Like, I knew that I didn't have to eat. Like, my parents were always adamant about clean your plate. Like, I remember sitting at the table till like midnight. They would not let me leave the dinner table, right? That was the nights that they chose to have family dinner too. That wasn't an every night occurrence. But so my brain and the way I was raised, like, right, I was manipulated, right, as a child that I have to clear my plate of food. And so I would just pile all the stuff on my plate, like at a potluck or whatever. And I have to clear that plate of food. Now I have to leave something on the plate for me. Like I have to leave something on the plate for me. And so like, because I don't live there no more, right? Like I don't live there. I've surrendered that. And so that, like throughout the years in therapy and 12 steps, and like I learned to apply all those things. And the feet, I too wasn't tried to be a ballerina, and they told me I did not have the feet to be a ballerina when I was little. And so I've always had a complex about my feet. And I'm 5'6" and I have a size 10 foot as a woman. So like there it's the struggle is real. It's hard to find a good pair of high heels in size 10, let me just tell you. There's that. And then I'm not a victim, right? Like I'm not a victim today. I'm not a victim to my circumstances, and my affirmations help with that. Like there was, a time like 2 years ago, my sponsor was like, you need to do daily affirmations, three affirmations a day, three affirmations when I see you. And so my whole mirror in my room when I lived in Oregon, like it was just covered with affirmations. Like I am worthy, right? I'm a good mom. Just all the things. And like at one time there, my kid had came in my bathroom and she was like, she put an affirmation on there for me, right? Like that I was a good mom and that she and that I was worthy of her love. And it changed everything, right? And now my kids know, like it's not like I'll tell them like you need if you they self-talk negatively, go you could say three nice things about yourself and look at yourself in the mirror. And their friends that come over, right? They know. And I'm grateful. Do I practice that all the time? Sometimes I have to say it too, right? Sometimes they have to check me. And so I'm grateful for that. So that's all.
Thank you, Sarah Jean. You know, my parents used to say the same thing about cleaning the plate, and they never would. But I didn't want them to be hypocrites, so I went ahead and cleared their plate too for them. Go ahead, JW.
All this whole thing was really good for me. But the thing that keeps coming to my mind is I found a place where I belong. I don't have to fit in. And to me, that is the most important thing to me, for I found a community I can serve, and I love doing that. And it's not for the affirmations and all that. It's just there's a need, and I want to be the one to do it, because I owe an amends to the fucking universe, man. And my counselor in prison told me, I told her, I said, I don't even know who half of them people are, and how am I going to make amends to them? She said, well, you make a living amends. And so I took that to heart, that okay, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to do something different. And NA has afforded me a life that I could never have had, I don't think. The law of attraction is working very well in my life, because I hang out with some really awesome people, and they've changed my frequency and every fucking thing else, man. Because I believe in that, because I can actually see it working in my life. And there'll come a time, my clean date's in April. I'm thinking, I'm getting ready, around my clean date, I'm gonna let go of some shit and move forward, without that. And so it's okay. I'm okay. If I make it to April the 21st, you may see a new JW, but I'm still gonna be talking shit and laughing my ass off, and my wife's going be going, that's not funny. I said, it's fucking hilarious, man. You just got to look at it from my point of view, and all the people I hang out with. She's told me, I don't know how many times, that was a tragedy and y'all were laughing about it. I said, yeah, we've cried enough about that shit. Now we got a twisted sense of humor. And so just sit back and take note, but I'm just grateful to be here. Shit, I never thought I'd make it to 69. My dad used to tell me all the time, quit working for cash. You're not going to have any Social Security. And I'd always say, Daddy, I ain't gonna live that fucking, I ain't gonna live that long. But hey, he was right. So I'm still here, motherfuckers. Thanks for
Thank you.
letting me share.
Thank you, JW Francis.
Wow. I don't even know what to say at this point. There's so much that's been said since I put my hand up that, you know, like, I'm like, I don't even, you know, yeah. I had to, my parents would make us clear our plates and then they would reward us with dessert. If you clear your plate, you can have a big thing of dessert. No wonder I'm like have issues my whole life. And my mom made the best gravy. I think never. Yeah. I think that's why I have a clogged artery. You know, like I call it my mom's heart-stopping gravy. It clogs you right up. It says in the Living Clean, some say that enlightenment begins when we lighten up on ourselves. And so I do have some self-deprecating humor, you know, like, and I like to make fun of myself. And I think that's cool. I have a friend that says, take the program serious, but don't take yourself serious. And because I do think the disease of addiction wants to kill us, but you know, like, but I don't have to be that serious all the time. I could have a good time with this. And so I'm super grateful for this episode. You know, I got to meet Judy down in at the I just happened upon her table and sat with her, and she was talking about the podcast and wanting to participate in it. And then here we are, you know, like a month later or however long it was that we were at the convention. Sarah Jean engaged me on social media and asked about the podcast, and you know, like, and then just this last weekend, Carolyn, it wasn't really a shout out as it was like a snarky comment during the regional service committee about starting. Yeah, you can start a podcast like Francis, and I'm like, oh, here it is. You like when somebody dropped out, I'm like, we're gonna get Carolyn in on this. So, and you know, like. Here we are with D. D has been asking to get back on for a while. And I'm like, oh, well, shit, we got to get D. He has 5 minutes to come on. So, what a great time I've had. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Judy.
I'm going to try to not hold us hostage. The part right here where it says we see our defects, but we also see what there is to love about us. You know, that's the one thing I've learned. I heard a speaker one time talk about that they didn't really believe in character defects, that they believed that character defects was just our assets that went way out in left field. And so I use that a lot now. And, you know, I know I have defects. I have impulse control issues and I have some other issues, but I also can, you know, it's also talking about the humor. I can laugh at my, you know, I know that I have some defects and I am really okay with most of them. And I wanted to say too, you know, as far as the self-image part, and I have learned to love me in every part of me because I know that the God of my understanding has made us all uniquely a little bit different. And I am so grateful that I can see that in myself and not have to compare myself because I'm a comparer. I want to compare me to you. And I've done that through a lot of my recovery. I would compare myself with people who had 20 years clean. And I'm thinking, but you're not there. Like you're not there. And so even with this situation and this issue with like my health and stuff, you know, I minimized being diabetic, you know, and today I can see the seriousness of it. So I can, so I don't want to make it sound weird, but I can laugh at some things because I always talk about my love for Cheetos and I'm not real big on chocolate cake, but I do like Nutty Buddy bars, I love them. So I do have some issues, and I love potatoes, and I love corn, and I want corn and potatoes together. And you know, I was raised up north. We put the corn on the potatoes. You can't have potatoes unless you got corn put on them. You know what I mean? So I can laugh at some of that stuff today and realize that, you know, I do have some quirky little characteristics, I guess, or likes, if you will, but. And I can take my health serious at the same time. And so I say that to say, when I look in the mirror today, I love me. And it took me a long time to get here because if you know anything about anorexia or bulimic or anything like we and self-image is not just for women. Like men go through some stuff too. I hated me from a very early age. And to be able to come in here and weighing in at 160, and I'm 5'2", which I know I'm overweight, and that people's gonna say that ain't that bad. It is, because it's not healthy for me. And I can still love that part of me and know what I need to do. Like I know I need some help with some of the issues that I have going on. And I really want to work the program on food. I really think I need to work the steps on food. And not that I really overeat, but it's because I don't like a lot of foods. And it's not like, well, if you just eat it long enough, you'll begin to like it. I hate to bite into fish. It shouldn't be in your mouth. I don't know. It's just nasty. I don't like onions. I don't like avocado. I don't like none of that good stuff. And it's not because of any other reason, but I just can't stand it. So there's that. I will learn to eat something different one of these days, maybe. And hopefully, I don't have to have it puree. How you just say that word where they put it in the blender?
Puree,
Yeah,
puree.
that's it. I don't want my food like that. I want to be able to chew it, because I don't feel like I'm eating unless I'm chewing food. Like soup, I don't understand it. You drink it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like I need to chew. So I am learning, and I'm like I said, I am so grateful that I got to come on here tonight, because this is really going to help me change my view and my aspects on the physical side of my disease. Love y'all.
Thank you, Judy. I want to thank all of our wonderful guests. Thank you all so much for doing this with us and spending this hour now working on an hour and a half with us. I appreciate every one of you. You're welcome back anytime, anytime. But yeah, I think that's all I got. Francis, you got anything?
No, thank you everyone for joining us.
Okay, we'll be back next week with another episode. See y'all then.
Thank you for joining us on our Living Clean podcast. This is another platform that we can share our message of recovery, which is an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Join that no matter what club. You can contact us through text. The number is 931-306-9364.